halachic and pastoral experts who have been involved in responding to the Torah needs and emotional needs of nursing home patients and their families for decades. It's a privilege to introduce to you Rabbi Solomon Shapiro, who will be followed by Rabbi Joseph Grunblatt from Queen's Jewish Center, Rabbi Lowell Kronik, Director of Pastoral Services from the Parker Institute. Rabbi Shapiro, as you may know, in addition to being a rabbi in the community, has been Director of Pastoral Services at the Cambridge Jewish Medical Center for decades. It's a privilege and honor to introduce you to Rabbi Shapiro.
Thank you, Mr. Becker, Rabbi Becker, Dr. Becker. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful program. I must tell you a story before I start. There was a famous neurosurgeon in New York by the name of Dr. Davidoff. He was left-handed, he was southpaw. And he was sought after. Any problems anyone had neurologically or neurosurgically, they went there. He was a chassid of my father, the Chayyim of Rocha. And whatever you keep up, he walked into the house and he said to my father, give me a bracha. Dr. Medvozalach Ahmed, the Inski bracha was your kera agib, is asking Gita Yizalach Mishken. It's also like a shelf now coming. I say it's a wonderful program. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, great as it is, Gita Yizalach Mishken. One of the things that we have to discuss here tonight are the halachic issues with regard to patients in a nursing home. Let me tell you at the very outset, and Ms. Brickman touched upon this, is the guilt and shame that a family has when they have to admit a patient. There are certain remarks that I hear constantly. The husband and wife will come in, they're both downhearted, angry at each other, and the opening remark will be something like that. If my wife would have more compassion, I wouldn't have to admit my mother here. Perfect. Finished. Or, a woman would say, if my husband would have greater understanding and more patience, I would have to bring my family here. We are overridden with guilt, without a question and without a doubt. And as a rabbi, sometimes I have to calm them down and tell them what are the halachic issues with regard to Kibud Av V'Aim. In Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim and Yeradeya, Siman Reish Mem, the halacha is very explicit. The halacha tells us, "Machilo yimashkeu v'yimdenele b'seiv aponim yofes." A child is obligated to feed, to clothe his father, his mother, with a smile. And the Mechaber continues on. And if he doesn't do it with a full heart and with a smile, he may give him the finest food in the world. It's unacceptable. So it's an obligation. Giving our name is an obligation on our part. We must respect our parents regardless of their physical or mental condition. But as we go down in that same civil, we find a different halacha later on. And that second halacha is based on a famous story. When the Gemara tells us that there was an Amora by the name of Ravasa. And Ravasa Amari, he had an aged mother. One day the mother said to Ravasa, my son, Behile Tachshit, I need jewelry. Off it went. The son went out, made a beautiful necklace for his mother with a matching set of earrings he brought it to her. The Gemara doesn't tell us whether she said thank you or not. He gave her the set of jewelry. Later on, she said, Behile Gabra, I need a husband. So what did he answer her? He said, deny a look. I will look into it. I'll try to find one for you. She says, I don't want just a husband. The kind of husband I want, be the gambler, the shapir. I need a husband who is as good looking, commercial like you. At that point, the Gemara tells us, Shavka ve'ozla arad Yisrael. He left her and went to Israel. He bent. The Gemara continues on that he went to ask Rabbi Yochanan a question later whether he has to return or not. My interpretation is that the reason he asked this question of Rabbi Yochanan was because he refused that he left his mother. But based on that Gemara, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre, Perek Vov, points out to us that a very interesting halacha that is quoted by the tool later in Yeridaya Simon Ejmem and subsequently by the Machaba in the Shulchan Aruch that says as follows. Misha Nitra for Das Aviv O Imoi Mishtad Lili Gimoim Gifidato. If they went off, they became disoriented, you must try to guide them, to take care of them the way they want. And if it reaches a point where he cannot do it anymore, because they've undergone changes that have worsened their condition, he should go away, and he should leave them, and he should tell others, to care for that properly. So the Shulchan Aruch that tells us how we have to take care of our parents, how we have to feed them, comes with an halacha tells us later on, there comes a time where we have to say to them, someone else will take better care of you than we can. So guilt does not have to enter into the minds of anyone who has to admit a relative, a close one, to an institution where they'll care for it. We do have to bear in mind, though, that as Jews, and I do not like to use the term from Jews and not from Jews, because Zera, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov are all the same. We are all children of our Avos, and we have an obligation to treat them and care for them according to the directives of the Torah. And if a Jew has to go into a nursing home who states, I'm an unbeliever, I'm an unobservant Jew, I have no right to admit him to an institution where his religious needs will not be cared for. Let me tell you that there is no such thing as an unobservant Jew. It's a facade. I served as director of pastoral service at a large city institution, Kings County Hospital, for over 40 years. One of my first patients that I encountered was an old socialist. If anyone will call that name, Albert Arinkheberer. The people whose pride and joy was that they made the Yom Kippur ball. And he came in originally for observation. And as a chaplain, I felt it's my duty, I have to go to see, give my Shalom Aleichem. When I walked in and I introduced myself, he shouted out in Yiddish, Ich darf nicht hier rabonim. I don't need you, I don't want you. The Rabbi Zartberg is it. Aber gesit will sie noch ja sagen. Fine, good, I left. 7 days later, I get an emergency call. Dr. S. wants to see you. I said to my wife, he chased me out of his room. He assaulted me. He screamed at me in the presence of the nurses. What did you want now? But anyway, he called out to come in. I come in to see him, and this man is calm, a little depressed. Tell you something. In a socialistic Yiddish, you gave Moka for a shredder operation. Macht man aber schwerer. So, I'm Dr. S., you have to get your doctor's care about it, that's not my time. This is also the Gesinterheit. Macht man aber schwerer. A Jew is an observant Jew. Deep down in his heart, he's observant. And as Jews, to fellow Jews, we have no right to admit him into a place where they're not going to be in a Jewish atmosphere. With regard to food, in particular, the Bina Gadol, in his Sicha Kalanis to Rechayim, and later on, the Sima Reisa Makvov, Sivkot Dalab, the Nishma Tzizov, points out a very interesting thing. He says, all Osa Nispa V'Yadayim, we are not allowed to feed with our hands. Non-kosher food, Afil al Achere Shaita V'Kot, even to Achere Shaita V'Kot. There's a whole tshuva, there's some sefer erechaim, there's a tshuva dikos moish about it. They make a differential, a distinction between an institution where the person could be helped and so on. The bottom line is, I'm not allowed to take a Jew and put him into a place where he is going to, or she is going to get food that is not kosher. As a relative, as a child, I have no right to. So irrespective of how observant the patient is, irrespective of how observant the family is, we must cater to the needs of the Jew according to the Shofar. Shabbos, Tfila, Kashrus, and the final moments. Departure. That too has to be taken into consideration. I serve as an institution now. I think since the day I was born, I'm there. Denise Flatbush, what time there were Jews there, the community. Today it's changed a little bit. I always tell them a joke. I said, when I was the rabbi in East Flatbush, my beard was black and the street was white. The hospital is there, it's Kingsburg Jewish Medical Center. The facility is a 989-bed facility. It's a complex, self-enclosed with a beautiful park. 538 beds on nursing, as skilled nursing facility beds. 126 rehabilitation beds. Of that, we have 35 beds that service trauma brain injury patients. We have 326 acute hospital beds that contains 35, or 40 today, geriatric, psychiatric patients, plus an adult care facility, outpatient adult care facility and clinics. What do we have on the premises that can satisfy the needs of a Jew? A glatt kosher kitchen with the Rebbe Shgichim on premise. They rotate. Sometimes they trip over each other, but they're there. A synagogue that is in a self-contained area so Kahanim can go in and walk out freely. You don't have to be concerned about a mess, God forbid, being overhead, the floor above, or the morgue, the floor below. Its cell stands by itself, separated from the other buildings. And we have services there. And I want you to know that the Gaboyim, who are the caretakers of the synagogue, are residents of the nursing home. And I want you to know, too, the same arguments that you have in the synagogue with regard to Shishi and Shlishi, I hear them there every single day. Could you imagine? One says, you know who got Shishi the Shabbos? Leah. Well, what's wrong with Leah? You don't understand, Rabbi. They have a Kiddush every Shabbos after that. And after Kiddush, there's a Minacha service. That is part of the activity for those people who are residents there. We have a sukkah that accommodates 45 people. For the residents, for the visitors, for the staff. And there are men who came in and said, we don't need a synagogue, we don't want a synagogue, don't bother us. That was the first couple of days. After that, they discovered that it's a good activity for them. They come to shul. There's an automatic Shabbos and Yom Tov elevator to enable the visitors to come without violating any issue of Shabbos. We have 10 floors. You can't always walk up the 10 floors. The residents have to come down. We have residents who are religious, real full residents. Some of them are Rabbanim, who have pulpits, who are community rabbis. And unfortunately, they've reached the stage where we have to take care of them. That gives them an opportunity to live a respectable, respectful life. The families want to stay over, we have special provisions for them. Where to stay for Shabbos and Shabbos. Now we come to a critical problem. The critical problem that you have in healthcare today, and no one touched upon it, by the way, is advanced directives and do not resuscitate. DNRs and advanced directives is the latest in healthcare problems. I had a patient the other day. Today's what? Monday. This was last Wednesday. They brought in an aged patient in the emergency room, and the doctor makes a big announcement. We can't touch him because there's an advance directive. Didn't bother to read the advance directive. Didn't want to find out what the advance directive said. The patient is on a stretcher. One of the nurses comes in to tell me, she says, Rabbi, I was there at the time. I don't know, she says, he's such a nice man, he dresses so much. Go and say hello to him. There's nothing we can do for him, there's an advance directive. I go to see that old man, must have been about 85 or 86, lucid. And I talk to me, my name is Rabbi Shapiro, the Buskan Chachal. Oh, he's a tragless vasa. I bring him a glass of water, give him a drink. In the meantime, the man is burning up, he's running 104 temperature. And I talk to the doctor says, Rabbi, there's an advance directive. I said, you'll forgive my ignorance and my stupidity, but did you bother to read the advance directive? He says, no, I don't have it yet. It's coming down. In the interim, the son comes running in, and I'm standing there, and he starts to scream at the doctors. He says, my father's burning up, why don't you help him? They say, well, we understand he's got an advance directive. He says, yes, he has. You know what the advance directive says? Don't let me die. Do everything possible to keep me alive. I want you to know that those doctors got very busy. They discovered that they cured the pneumonia. Oh, now he's a patient. He's better now. But advanced directives unless the people know what they're writing. Is our market shalik subatil. It's detrimental to healthcare.
Right. I say this, you know, candidly.
At Kingsbrook, we have in the admissions office the advance directive papers as issued by the Agudas Israel, where it says that they appoint someone who will be their caretaker, their overseer, but he has to do everything in consultation with the rabbi, and the patient gives the rabbi's name. The next problem you have is DNRs. You do not resuscitate. At Kingsbrook, our setup is that each and every individual case is handled individually by the Medical Ethics Committee, of which I am the chairman. Yeah, I'm leaving you open so you understand what I'm telling you now. But these are problems that you have in healthcare facilities, in nursing homes, with the agent. People will come in, they'll bring you in a patient, and in addition to everything else that was enumerated here tonight, we have to make sure that our Jewish people do not go to a facility that is against halacha. And I conclude with Sam telling everybody that all Allah's eye gets into Canada's only stone coming to us.
Thank you, Rabbi Shapiro. We will now hear from Rav. Okay. Rabbi Kronik, I think you're elected to come now.
I didn't run.
Rabbi Kronik is the pastoral director at the Parker Jewish Institute for Rehabilitation and Healthcare, and we look forward to his observations and remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know that the topic for this evening is cultural competence, and I will touch on that a little bit later in my presentation. But as a rabbi, I would like to learn a medrash with you. That's the first thing I would like to do. It says in the Torah, "Vayihi acharei hadvorim ho'ele," after Yaakov and his family had come down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov met up again and was reunited with his son Yosef, whom he had thought had died many years ago, and they settled in Eretz Goshen. After all of these events, Vayomer liYosef, somebody told Yosef, Hine avicha chole, your father is sick. So the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, V'ruach ish yechalkel machalehu, V'ruach necheyo mi yisoeno. A person with an intact spirit will survive and will be sustained during his illness. But V'ruach necheyo, a broken spirit, person who is depressed and is in despair, mi yisoeno, who can possibly bear that illness? It is amazing to me how Tanakh and Chazal understood the spiritual issues of the illness experience. So the Medrash continues, Odom shehu meturof mineuro, a person who has been agitated with many tsoros from his youth, uvoli decholi, and later on became physically ill, ein bo koach lekabel es acholi, such a person with many, many years of chronic spiritual suffering will not have the strength and the stamina to be able to accept and bear his illness. And then the Medrash very interestingly compares this situation to Yaakov Avinu. It says in the Medrash, Kach Yaakov. Yaakov is this person who was Miturov Minurov, who had crises and was agitated from his early youth. Remember, Esau, Rodfo, V'chein Lovon, V'nispagesh im Hamaloch. He had that wrestling match with the Maloch and got the injury in the Gid Hanoshe. Tzoras Dino, his daughter was violated. Tzoras Yosef, later on in his life, he had to suffer the false report that his son Yosef had been devoured by a wild animal. And then Chazal continue in the Medrash, Lefikoch. That is why all of these crises and tragedies that Yaakov Avinu suffered, Lefikoch bo lidei zikno, he became a very old man rather quickly, v'cholu eivorov olov, and his body became sick, lechach siv bo choli. That's why it says, hine ovicho chole. He is a person whose body parts became hollow. They were not working anymore. But then, when Yosef comes to visit his father, Yaakov, and it says in the Pasuk, Vayaged li Yaakov, they told Yaakov, Vayomer hine bincho Yosef bo elecho, your son Yosef is coming to visit you. Vayischazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al hamito. Yaakov became stronger, and he was able to sit up in his bed. This medrash to me is fascinating because it points out that if we are to take care of patients, we cannot only look at the physical and the medical and the nursing. We have to look at the ruchnius. We have to look at the spirituality of both the patient and the family. Now let me give you a definition briefly of what I mean by spirituality. It can mean religious observance, it can mean frumkeit, it can mean shmiras mitzvot, but spirituality can also mean how does this patient and this family experience this crisis of illness. And that is where I believe a chaplain comes in. This is where a chaplain's expertise can be particularly helpful. For 10 years, I was the chaplain of the Bialystoker Home for the Aged on the Lower East Side. And for the last 16 years, I have been the director of pastoral services at the Parker Jewish Institute for Healthcare and Rehabilitation. Does everybody know where Parker is? Parker is on the grounds of LIJ. It is not LIJ yet. Pretty soon it will be. To get Matsun Memenish from North Shore LIJ Health System, Parker. But Davaile, it's a regel bifnei atzmo. Parker is an independent facility at the moment. I can second everything that Dr. Bennett and Mr. Deutsch and Mr. Sherman said. Parker is a very high-tech medical facility. If you are considering admitting a patient to Parker, Parker's specialty interest lies in short-term rehab. And if you have a relative, and I say Rachmona Litzlan, who has had a devastating stroke, who has had diabetes, for example, and has lost a leg, or somebody who has other illnesses that require high-tech medical interventions, Parker is the place in terms of the medical services to send that patient for rehab. If the patient can be rehabilitated, Parker is an excellent place to send them for that short-term rehab. In terms of long-term care, while I think that Parker gives decent long-term care, the cultural competence, I think, and this has been a struggle that I have been trying to win. I feel like the Mispageshim Hamalach, that I'm struggling with forces. Parker, when I came to Parker when Parker was built in 1972, it had 100% Jewish patients. When I came to Parker in 1983, we had 64% Jewish patients. Now, and please keep this in confidence, don't tell anybody, but I think we should be truthful. Now, Parker has a non-Jewish patient majority. It is still known as the Parker Jewish Institute. Now, you can understand what this means. Administrators who are not Shomrei Torah or Mitzvos will look at demographics, they will look at numbers, they will look at census, they will look at the bottom line, and they will say, you know what? What do we need a kosher institution? Parker has been a kosher institution since its founding. And so help me. As long as I am the rabbi at Parker, they will have a very, very hard time abolishing kashrus. And they have had a hard time abolishing kashrus. But I come here tonight to ask for the help of the Jewish community, not only when you need Parker to admit a relative, but please reach out to Parker. Let the administrators feel that there is a Jewish community that is interested that Parker should remain at the core a Jewish institution. Takim is all das nicht darf. We shouldn't need it. But there will come times when we may need it, and I would rather that Parker remain a Jewish institution, even for the miut, than for it to assimilate and go after its patient census. In terms of cultural competence, I do in-servicing, I meet with these staff, I teach them about the Shabbos and the Jewish holidays. We are a kosher facility. We have a mashgiach tamidi. We have a shul. We have an Orthodox service. I would compare it to a Young Israel service. It's a full, complete service. You know how many times they have miruv gevochen? What do they need, these elderly people, what do they need a full service for? And I say, as long as we can have a minyan, to me, there is an inyan here of kedei shalot tishtaka. It shouldn't be forgotten that there is a davening at Parker. I invite the Jewish community, and there is a very rich Jewish community in Kew Gardens Hills and in Forest Hills and in all of these Queens neighborhoods. Please show an interest that Parker Institute should remain Parker Jewish Institute. You will be helping me as the chaplain, but in the long run, I believe, you will also be helping yourselves. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Fronet, having worked at Parker during the times when the majority was Shomer Shabbos, I hope you'll share with the administration, the beautiful turnout we had this evening, which in itself demonstrates the fact that there is real serious interest and concern of this type of population. Yes?
But
it's not hard anymore. Okay, there have been changes since January 1. In the reimbursement form.
What was the question?
The question was, why has Parker's demographics dwindled in terms of the Jewish patient census? There are a couple of reasons. It was argued that they were looking to get the highest need patient
and many times Jewish patients who were referred to me by community rabbanim were not eligible based on their very high skilled need, the rugs, the high rugs, which is a formula for reimbursement. I can tell you now that the Medicare regulations have changed since January 1, and Parker is looking now to still pay.
Excuse me, we'll have opportunity for additional questions and answers. I would like to now have the benefit of listening to Rabbi Grunblatt, who will talk to us from a different perspective. Laura Dosser from Kehillah, very well known throughout the community. Rabbi Grunblatt, thank you.
Good evening. I feel like an appendix. I mean the biological appendix. people are still wondering what the purpose of the appendix is, and I'm wondering what my purpose is, since I'm not affiliated with any facility, and all the people that have spoken so far are so much more experienced with the actual problems, both practical and halachic. Mine come merely from observation, from the many visitations I make to patients who unfortunately occupy these facilities, and from attempting to counsel usually children who are trying to place their parents somewhere or a parent and have this gripping feelings of guilt and sheer concern, which very often, from my observation, I must share with them. And they asked my Mavinas, can you recommend a good nursing home to us? I don't know them all. And, of course, some strike me as better than others. My judgment is, of course, limited by the time that I have and by the things that I see. And I'm not a professional investigator to be able to, but some of the things that I look for is in staff, how they act with each other, or to somebody comes in, somebody who wanders and is looking for a room, how they respond to a visitor. That's sometimes indicative too. A person is good, is good. If he's bad, is bad. All right? We all understand the enormous constraints. People mentioned before about selection of staff members. It's a well-known formula, I suppose, that jobs of that nature will usually fall to a part of the community that is less skilled, less educated, has less opportunities for other kind of jobs that have advancement. And therefore you are automatically limited with whom you get, and it's not always the fault of the proprietors that they're not getting the proper people. You get the people you can get, and that we can very well understand. Not all facilities have these beautiful opportunities in cultural, what is the term again? Cultural competence than some of the people who are sitting here. Eshel Avraham is a very unique institution. Parker, to some extent, is. Some of the others who are run by people who are Dabuk and Halacha and care and so on. And when you, unfortunately, I've always found the shortage, there is not sufficient beds available. Whenever recommendations come, you have to wait in the register first and we'll see what's going to happen. It's better to come from this and that, the other thing. And certainly, facilities of that kind are very limited. And the kind of services that were described here are, I think, more rare than frequent in terms of the many numbers of facilities that are available. And sometimes you have no brera and you have to go where you're being taken in. And you cannot make the best possible choice. And therefore the guilt to some extent is understandable. I just want to make a little psychological observation. When we think of guilt, we only think in terms of guilt that we're not doing the right thing by giving our parents. That may be their parents' sense of guilt. there is a deeper sense of guilt that we recognize in children, or that we retain, but we don't accept consciously. Whenever there is a loss of competence or a total loss of a loved one, there is some kind of guilt that we are responsible for this. It's maybe a very primitive type of consciousness, but it's there. Like children, when the parent dies, they think it's their fault that the parent died. I can say that because, unfortunately, I went through the experience myself. I had to place my parents in a nursing home. I was very fortunate that I had family connections, and I was able to get them in a facility in Washington Heights, which is also very well serviced, with a rabbi present on the premises, with a wonderful community that provides, especially young people who come and do chesed activities. And my parents always tell me, this wonderful girl, this wonderful came up and so on, maybe something for you. I have a girl for our grandson. You know what I mean? Who came to Shabbos and entertained us and was such a wonderful person. I mean, these are rare. I mean, this is the exception to the most nursing homes, as far as I know, are not as fortunate as that. All right? So it's very difficult. There are, in terms of yadus, I have found, and I have to be honest, that I was not always satisfied with some of the vibes and kashas which I received. And I mentioned before that, somebody mentioned before, the kashas is very important because food is a very important component of the life of anyone, in particular people very little else to do. Right? Now, we can understand why people line the walls. The programs, I come in sometimes. They will permit me to come in when the program is going on and see some patients. I did it in Park, I did it in other places. Just like somebody mentioned before, they don't have choice of shul, they don't have choice of entertainment either. They can't go to a different theater, you know. And we don't expect that they will be in a Broadway show into a nursing home. The closest thing to it is a television set, and most of them are through the television. And usually the entertainment is relatively primitive, very amateurish, and you don't expect a star who gets $10,000 for an appearance at night is going to come to a nursing home. I mean, we have to be realistic. We have to understand the enormous restraints of institutionalization and of the matzav of the chola himself, who sort of stews in the depression of illness and has very little escape from and diversion from his matzav ruchni, from his condition in which he finds himself. And you can staff it constantly with psychologists, the counselors, the rabbonim, psychiatrists. It's impossible. They are for profit organizations, it's not the charities, and it's, you have to understand how the system works. What we can do, I do as a counseling, I try to ease the burden of guilt, whatever form it originally has and whatever form in reality it takes. There is a tremendous pain and we have to work with it. And the inevitability of the situation, which has been stressed by all the speakers, is not any different than the hospital. The only big difference is that when one goes to the hospital, one has hope for a better future. With the exception of immediate after hospital care, most of the people who go to nursing homes know that they wind up. And particularly, most painful it is precisely for those who have their clarity in good mind. In a sense, all some of the patients are fortunate that they're not aware of their disability. The most difficult patients and the biggest pain that I've encountered is for people. I'm visiting a little old lady in one of the facilities in our area. She's well in the 90s. She's incapacitated. She stayed in our house as long as she could. She even hardly had help. Her mind is as sharp as a razor blade. All right? And she knows where she is. And she's so grateful. She says, I would like to see you more often. Of course, I know you can't do it. We have other people to see. We have other things to do. And I walk away with the pain. All right? These are some of the things that we encounter. The halachic presentation was made beautifully by Rabbi Shapiro. There's no question about it. We know one of the reasons why we have gone beyond the Shulchan Aruch in the sense is because of the new longevity. There are more patients, there are more Rabbis' mothers around than there used to be in the time of the Gemara. When we take the average age of people today, the older we get, the more likely we are going to be sick and to be put into such a situation. So you have a problem of availability of numbers. You have all these problems. And each individual case, I try to help to maneuver them as much as possible to come up with the least possible negatives. All right? This is about as much as you can hope for. And just like anything else, not everybody can get into the best hospitals. We know every hospital is not the best hospital. Okay? Why are they rated? All right? Now, I was shocked when the hospital started to advertise. All right? But well, are we used to it already? Some advertise. We have this facility and you heard some advertisement tonight. But how many are the best? How many doctors are all the best? Okay? Now, does everybody have the chance to get the best physician? Does everybody have the chance to get the best hospital? Not everybody obviously has the best chance to get the best hospital, the best nursing home. So it's a need. It's something that we can help. We can make Mishabera. Of course it can be Mishabera. And we should, as rabbis and whoever can, volunteers, very important to walk into the hospital. And you don't have to be an expert, you don't have to be a psychologist, and you don't have to be an MSW. If you walk over to any human being, you talk to them. The biggest pain of this form of incarceration, and that is what it is the mitzvah b'kacholim, the yisod of mitzvah b'kacholim, as I found, is the contact with the outside world. The feeling of being totally lost. And like, this is why children say, put them away. They feel more put away than the children putting them away, because it's not going to be put away. It's a routine. You see other people who more often are even sicker than you, do chesmen, and all the accidents that happen there. And the staff cannot be expected to be that sensitive. They're not children. And they are sometimes from different groups who may not internally bear a lot of sympathy for Jews. All right? We have all these things. So the pain of being insulated and isolated out of the flow of reality, just to know what day it is and what day in history it is, and to be in contact, even wanting to listen to the news, is an achievement. So these are some of the things, and I think what we as a community can do is to encourage. Now, many of the schools, religious schools, particularly the sacred schools, encourage chesed programs for kids to go into these facilities. There is no greater chesed. There is no greater chesed. And we understand it. And some of the things that Rabbi Shapiro mentioned halakhically, and maybe some of the lack that is going on in from non-religious or non-Jewish circles is, we have to understand it's part of American culture. It's part of American culture. We are going back to the paganism that abandoned the old people because they have nothing to contribute anymore. They let the old ones, in order to try and move on. We are going back to this as the society is becoming more pagan. They're becoming more the youth cult, and the old person doesn't matter, and the yeshivas of life, qua life. We're not believers in quality of life gives you a right to live, and if you rejudge that your quality of life is not so good, you have no right to live. It's becoming more and more prominent even in the profession which is supposed to save life. Lemancho elekim chayim. Zacheinu lachayim, because Hashem is a chofetz b'chayim, He wants life. And we understand that. And therefore, wherever it still is, wherever the flame still flickers, we have an obligation to keep it going. Thank you very much.